Encouraged? Challenged? Convicted? I would say that that's good all the way around. Amen? What is the chief aim of man? The chief aim of man is to glorify God. The chief aim, what we should be shooting at, is to glorify God. And in so doing, to, by extension, to enjoy it, to enjoy Him in the midst of glorifying Him. Does it glorify Him when we do it reluctantly? Does it glorify Him when we do things hesitantly, less than wholeheartedly? The answer is no. There's an aim in this life. There's a mark to be hit. What is the aim in football? Get the ball across the goal line. There's a goal. There's a mark to be reached. When you're shooting, what do? Shoot at a mark, else you don't know whether you're doing anything. There's a mark that we have to be aiming at, a mark that we need to be shooting at, a mark. Darts, you don't just throw at the wall, you throw at a bullseye. That's how you know you're getting better, is that every time you lob one over there, it gets closer and closer to the mark. God has a mark that we should be aiming for. The mark that He has set up is holiness, righteousness. That's the mark. Anything that doesn't hit that mark is a failure. To miss the mark is failure. And in God's economy, anytime we miss the mark that we should be aiming at, which is holiness, which is righteousness, anytime we miss that mark, that failure is called sin. The problem that we have here, messed up ones, the problem that we have here is that we've all missed the mark. We've all missed it. Probably today. Maybe even multiple times since we opened the peepers this morning. Miss the mark. To miss the mark is sin. To miss the mark is death. That's what Scripture says. Don't blame me, I didn't write it. For the wages of sin is death. The missing of the mark, the missing of the mark that God has laid out for you is to hit holiness every time, to hit righteousness every time. And when we miss that mark, it's sin, and one of those is enough to do you in, to do you right in. So I'm looking at a room full of people that have been done in. People that in and of their own right have no hope. Any life that misses the mark of God's holiness, even once, receives dire consequences. Bodies die, souls live forever. And souls live forever in one of two places. The soul that sins, it will die. And the death that it's talking about is being separated from a holy and righteous God. And that separation and separation place, that's called hell. Not a cuss word, it's a place. And it's a place you don't want to be. That's why that's where souls go that sin. Separated from a holy and righteous God. Those that have missed the mark go to hell, and those that aren't in sin are then fit vessels for a place called heaven. And that's where all the theology in the world goes bad, right there. That's where all this mess of theology that we've got out here shows up. Because people don't like the consequence that missing of the mark is going to do them in. And so we've got all kinds of religions and all kinds of preachers and all kinds of stuff going on out here to try to get around the very plain facts that Scripture lays out for us. That's where theology goes wrong. You've got groups that tell you that you got to do this and don't do that. Got to say this and can't say that. Got to eat this and can't eat that. Got to go here and can't go here. And you got the do's and you got the don'ts. And what it amounts to is that at the end of the time, everybody just hopes that they've done enough. Just hopes that they've toed the mark long enough and been good at some point well enough to be able to make it out of this life alive. That's the majority of the world's religions today. Works-based type salvations that say, do this, don't. Yes, no. In, out. Swallow this and don't swallow that. And it leaves everybody just hoping day upon day, year upon year, that at the end of life, that everything measured up is going to get me out of this thing alive. A lot of bad theology. It's everywhere. It's rampant. Got another resurgence in our area of Calvinism. Churches and places that I thought would never have to deal with issues like that again, they're dealing with it again and again. Spiritual hoity-toityness. Calvinism. I'm chosen. Why aren't you? You want to get right down to the end process of Calvinism and all that it brings in there, which is heresy, by the way. You want to come down to the end result of what Calvinism is all about is I'm in. If the preacher would be honest with people with what he believes, what he'd say when people come into their building is, you know what? I've been chosen and I'm in. Most of you aren't, and most of you cannot be. And so most of you are going to hell. I don't know which ones those are. But I'm in. And I hope some of you are. And you ought to just leave it at that and walk away. The reason that Scripture talks about certain things in that particular area, the way that it does, and talks about whosoever will, and then talks about chosen, is so that we remain grounded. So that we remain centered in our faith. So that we don't come to the place of over here that says, well, look what I done. I done got me saved. I did this and I prayed this and all of that, and here I am, and I am now a child of God. I have had exercised my free will, and now I'm in. Well, that's wonderful, but that ain't the end of the story, because Scripture also says that God calls and that He draws and that He works on His side and that He is sovereign. So you got the other part that says, I was chosen, I was picked, which means that some of you that aren't in, you were picked, but you were picked for hell. And Scripture never says that. It says, whosoever will may come. So there is a resistance there to keep us in the center. A resistance on both sides to keep us grounded. That's what Scripture does. It keeps us grounded. We got different crowds, just as my brother went through scripture there a while ago with the law and the grace crowds. Scripture keeps us grounded, keeps us centered, lest we get into the margins. And when you get into the margins, there's trouble. You can't create theology. You can't produce theology in the margins. There's a systematic theology that comes from page one to the last page in Revelation. It's a systematic theology that is built from the front to the last. You can't play in the margins. Now I'm off out in the horse weeds a little bit, messing around, but I'm going to bring us back here in just a minute. Miss the mark. Some of you in here missed the mark and haven't done anything to correct it. You sit under preaching, you sit under teaching. You've nodded your head, you've assented to some facts, but you haven't investigated to the point to where you placed your entire faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shame of that matter is that there's a day coming where all opportunity for a decision will be precluded. And in that day, many, many will perish. Many that we sat in churches with for years and years will perish. Who gave mental assent to some facts, but never received the great gift of life that the Lord Jesus Christ desires to give. If you're on the fence about anything here this morning, I'd encourage you to get off the fence. I'd encourage you to go ahead and step in. Forget about all the things that you think you're going to have to give up and quit and do, because, see, we don't base things here on do's and don'ts. Where you go and where you don't. We don't base things on that. What we base on is whether you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Miss the mark. Dire consequences for missing the mark. The chief aim of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what we need to be looking at. That's what we need to be shooting for. When we cry out in our lostness, we recognize that we are hopeless and that we are helpless without Christ. He reaches down and He covers us with His righteousness. That covering, paid for by His shed blood, is what God looks upon instead of looking at the holes our misses have made outside the mark of holiness when we've lobbed the darts of life at them. And what that's called is grace. The chief aim of man is to glorify God, hit the mark. What you should be doing is looking to hit the mark today. Hit where you're aiming, and the mark is the holiness of God, and to enjoy Him forever. And then thank God for grace when we miss. The point is, we should be aiming at something in this one life that we have been given. Agreed? So if we could learn how to glorify God by enjoying Him, we'd know how not to sin, wouldn't we? And by learning how not to sin, we'd know how to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Do those things not go together? Psalm 119. See if I can find that now. Thought I had everything marked up real good. Here we go. Let's start in at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I'll delight myself in thy statutes and will not forget thy word. Verse 11 here, the starting point of this, start of this verse, one of the very first passages that I committed to memory, in that first 50, I would say, verses 9, 10, and 11 here. But verse 11 gives us a plain teaching. And the plain teaching here is how to hit the mark. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a plain teaching on how to hit the mark in your life. How to glorify God. The way not to sin is to treasure the Word of God. To treasure the Word of God in your heart. To live for the glory of God. Enjoying the relationship is to treasure the Word of God in your heart. The psalmist goes on after verse 11 here, and he uses commandments and statutes and ordinances and testimonies and precepts, all words that are used to refer to the written Word of God. The Word is the entirety of the body of the written work that God has handed us. The entirety of it. As it dovetails together. What are we to do with this body of work that we have here? What are we to do with this body of work? We're to hide it, it says. Hide it. What's that mean? The term as originally used, Hebraically, means simply to... has a pointer to something that has value. When it's talking about hide something, this hiding here is hiding something of great value. What do you do with those things that you value highly? Well, you protect them, you put them in a safe place. So what the psalmist is getting at is if you value the Word of God, you're to hide it in the place where something valuable goes. That's in your heart. You see, the Word of God, for a sold-out child of God that loves the Lord, is not something to be stored out here to be consulted from time to time. Oh, now we see where I'm going. Huh? For the child of God, this can't be enough. To have one of these on your shelf. To have one of these ride around in your car from Sunday to Sunday. This cannot be enough. It can't be enough. How many times have I gone in homes and found that great big family Bible laying on the coffee table, that great big family Bible laying on the mantle, treasured, valued, respected, wonderful Word of God, but it cannot be enough for the child of God to have this outside of you sitting somewhere. Sitting on a shelf, sitting on a coffee table, sitting somewhere else. That's what the psalmist is getting at with some of this here. He's talking about if it's of value, then it won't be something apart from you. It won't be something out here that you refer to from time to time. It'll be something that you'll bring in here into you. It'll become a part of you. Become part and parcel of the Christian. You see, that's why we no longer have to have the law written on stone. Now it's engraven on the heart. It's to be engraved on the heart. The Word of God is meant to be hid. treasured in a place where it can be thought about. Treasured in a place where it can be felt. So the teaching here is that the way to keep from sinning, the way to measure all of the activity of a life to be lived for the glory of God, the way to enjoy that relationship is bound up in storing the Word of God as a valuable thing in your heart. Why? The heart is the wellspring of life. The heart is the wellspring of life. What's in that heart will show up out here. Fill the heart with the Word of God, and it will keep you from sin. Now, let's not get this mixed up. Got a world full of actors that memorize lines all the time. It's not the memorizing that keeps you from sin. It's memorizing and hiding that valuable treasure. It's the hiding part, the understanding of the value of what is being hid. Not the memorization that'll keep you from it, but understanding the value of what it is you're putting in that heart and life that will keep you from that sin. It's bringing every wonderful life-giving God-breathed syllable into your very heart. Embracing it, holding it, savoring it. It's putting His Word there and continuing to taste it, continuing to love it, and love Him who spoke it more and more and more and more as you rehearse His words in your heart and mind. It's the storing of that Word, coupled with the value that we place on that Word, that gives us power to stand against the sin that comes our way. We should be as the ant. Proverbs chapter 6. How is the ant? Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. In other words, you need to be more like the ant. Have you ever watched ants? They're very industrious fellows. They're not sluggards. It says, be like the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And what that's saying about that ant is that the ant gathers food in the summer because it knows there ain't going to be none in the winter. And so what we do as Christians, what we're called to do is get that Word hid in our heart, that valuable Word of God hid in our heart, so that when the winter comes, and it will come, so that when the winter comes, we have something of sustenance, something that we can hold on to, something that'll get us through, not only through, but to thrive in the times when famine comes. The beauty of memorizing Scripture, when we figure out that we're going to need it. That we're going to need it. And sometimes we wind up needing it before the day is out. Is there a day that goes by that we don't need help to escape some sinful attitude? You're better than I am. Not a day goes by. Is there a day that passes that we don't need encouragement? Some encouragement to live a life that glorifies God? Not a day. As a pastor, teacher, as a counselor, I've seen the transformation in lives that occurs when people begin to value and hide the Word of God in their heart. You can see it. It's tangible. It's palpable. You can see it when God's Word gets hold of people. And they begin to be voracious and hungry. Hungry for the next piece. Hungry for more of it. That's why I don't want to be remiss in encouraging you to take part. I don't want to be remiss in encouraging you to see the value of the Word of God and to begin to use it in that way and to hide it in your heart. We don't invite people up here to show off. I invite people to be a part of that so that you can see it's possible. To see that there's something to it. And not just to impress you. My hope is today would be an encouragement to you to step out. Begin to hide the Word of God in your heart on a steeper growth pattern. To be challenged to reach further and higher than you ever have before. To incorporate the Word of God into your life. One verse or 40 like some of these did. One verse or 40, man, just get with it is what I want to encourage you to do. Hide it in your heart. If you value the Word, hide it in your heart. When you tell me that you love the Word of God, but you don't commit it to memory, something's not right. Something's disconnected. If you love the Word of God, it'll make its way into your heart. Let me ask you this honestly. How many here, by show of hands, would memorize a scripture for next Sunday if I promised you 10 $100 bills? Huh? There's a lot of hands. Value. Do you value the Word of God? You just valued $1,000. How valuable is the Word of God to you? Psalm 19 says it better than I can say it. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Go to verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What's it talking about? It's talking about the Word of God. The entirety of the Word of God. Oh yeah, valuable. Yeah, Word of God, it's valuable. I got my valuable with me today. I got my valuable right here. I keep my valuable on the car dash. Got my valuable with me today. It's valuable. There's a difference in what you bring with you and what you bring in you. Huh? There's a difference in what you're going to bring with you and what you're going to bring in you. What you bring in you here, that's what we're talking about, valuable. Dawson Trotman, the founder of Navigators, tremendous man used of God. Got saved in 1926. When he got saved, he was driving a lumber truck for a lumber yard out in Los Angeles. And he decided that he would start committing scripture to memory. And so he did. He memorized a verse a day. A verse a day for 3 years while he worked for that lumber yard. It's over 1,000 verses in 3 years. That's a pretty steep growth pattern, pretty steep growth trajectory on a guy. That tells me that he valued the Word of God. Amen? He saw there was great value in that, and he began to hide it in his heart. How hard would it be to commit a verse a day to memory? pretty hard, wouldn't it be? But I wonder how hard it would be to commit one a week. You know, sometimes we don't have to be as ambitious as the other guy, because there's some guys out there that are pretty ambitious about some stuff. But just because we can't do one a day doesn't mean we can't do none. Huh? That we just skip the process entirely. And some of you sit right here a while ago and you overlooked the ones that did one or two verses here and looked at them that did chapters and said, I couldn't do that. And rather than focusing on where the Lord might have you to start, you went somewhere else. And you already talked yourself out of it before we even finished the exercise. You see, the onesies and twosies is where it starts. And it's the onesies and twosies that make a difference in your life. How's your faith? Got strong faith this morning? Got weak faith here this morning? I've never known a strong Christian who did not have a lot of scripture memorized. Now that might be a slap in the face to some of you here today. I've not known a strong Christian that did not have much scripture memorized. That's how you get strong. That's how you get rid of them old flabby weak muscles, spiritual muscles. Boy, here's that time of year where everybody's, you know, running out there and getting the next greatest diet, buying all the weight loss equipment and all that sort of thing. You want to get some good deals, check back Craigslist about March. They'll have it all stacked out at the curb. You can have it five for a dollar. You can get them dumbbells and go out there and work them dumbbells out all you want to. You know what? You don't have to have no dumbbells to memorize Scripture. You don't have to have a Peloton bicycle that you hock the house to get in order to memorize Scripture. You don't have to have the newest diet in order to memorize Scripture. You can start with an old flabby belly this morning. Huh? That's what I'm going to do. You can start right where you are in the condition that you're in. Don't have to lose not one ounce. And start memorizing Scripture right now. Committing it to your mind and to your heart at the clip that the Lord leads you in. Whatever clip that is. Make it be one that glorifies Him. Amen. Make the clip that you choose be the clip that would glorify God with your abilities and with your talents. Let it be something that would glorify Him in the way that you go about the process. You know, faith doesn't just happen. It doesn't just show up and jump on you one day. Faith isn't something that you were looking for something else and all of a sudden, wham, I got faith. There's a process to faith. And faith depends on steady access to truth. Steady access to Bible truth. Let me show you something else here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. How's your trust? How's your confidence this morning? How's your peace? How's your joy? How's your assurance? Are those things strong or are they weak in you today? God gave us His Word to keep. He gave us His Word in order that we might keep it inside of us, hidden in our heart, activated by the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us. Activated and moved, made alive and quick, lively, a lively hope that we have. And coming from the Word of God. And with that, we can face any challenge. And with that, we can respond in a way that shows the lost world that we're different. We are different from the world that is around us. And the only way that happens is for His Word to get in us. Romans chapter 10, I got two verses and I'm going to close. Romans chapter 10, a reminder here. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is built through the Word of God. That Word of God that we're to have see as valuable that we place in our heart and life. Hebrews chapter 11, six verses there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what that's talking about and putting, pointing you to are the promises of God. Faith comes directly from the promises of God that we believe. The promises of God, the things that He has left us, these are not hope-so hopefuls. These are no-so hopefuls. The promises of God we can trust and we can believe. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. He hit the mark. He hit the mark. The mark of holiness. The mark of righteousness. By virtue of the relationship that he had with God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a reward to those that diligently seek the Lord. Will you be rich in grace? Hide His Word in your heart. Hide His Word in your heart, brethren. Be equipped for the adventure, the adventure of this Christian life. Be equipped for it today. Take that equipment with you in your heart. It's the Word of God that unlocks the mystery of all life for us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. His Word in you, His Word in you is the key to daily victory. There it is. The value of the Word of God. A new discipline for you in this new year. Something to get a hold of. A process to follow through with. That you might be about hitting the mark more often than not. Amen? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's something to aspire to. There's something that'll help you if you'll take a hold of it the way that it's intended this morning. Let's stand for prayer.